We have been, for the last 3 weeks, going through the first chapter of Matthew with the lineage of Christ and the birth of Christ being on the wise, and this wise, as it was told us through Scripture, why He came into the world and what He would accomplish in coming to this world. And we closed off last week with the angel telling Joseph not to fear to take Mary to wife, for she had conceived the Ghost, and that holy thing within her was none other but the Son of God. We see Joseph knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus, the Word means Savior. Matthew wastes no time in chapter 2 in going straight to the point, straight to the fact. If we read Scripture, we see Matthew and Luke are the only two who cover the birth of Christ in any great detail. Mark begins with his baptism and John the Baptist. John begins speaking of the eternal Son of God, the eternal Word of God, the eternal Christ of God, by whom all things are created. Matthew goes straight into the birth of Christ. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And there's a comma, but that's the first paragraph. We understand the Christ of God, the word Savior, meaning Jesus. Paul said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's the entirety of the gospel. From the beginning of Scripture to the end is Christ. Everything we're here for is to worship Christ. The name Jesus explains it all. He is our Savior. This is the greatest event that has ever happened to this point, period. Many people, and I'm a bad one to do it. I say a bad one, it's a good thing. But many of us talk a lot about the Creator of heaven and earth. But He who was there before God created, He who was set up from everlasting, He who was with Him when the hills and the valleys and the mountains were created and the depths of the seas were laid, He who by whom He created all things, the stars, the planets, He who is the light of God. And that was a great, great truth. It is. When there was nothing, God in Christ created all things. But we've got to understand here something in my mind even greater. And we certainly benefit from this and this alone and every blessing that we have. And that was the birth of the Son of God into the world. That was when our Savior was born into the world. Luke in chapter 2 tells us about that, when He was born and the angels of God were there around those shepherds as they told them that unto you is born in this day, that very day, in the city of God, a Savior, that's what Jesus means, which is Christ the Lord. People try to cut a line between Him being the Son of Man and the Son of God and try to say the Son of God was not eternal because He was born into this world. Let me assure you, the Son of God is eternal. The sonship is eternal. Let us make man in our own image. He was there in the beginning, and by Him were all things made that were made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay? It's all about Christ. It's all for Christ. The angels of God were there, you find in Luke chapter 2, glorifying God. That's why they were there, because the Christ of God, the Savior. What is a Christ? The man, Jesus Christ. All man. Anointed. All God, all man. Anointed. That's what that means. Anointed. of the Spirit of God, Christ, anointed. Jesus Christ, Savior, anointed. That's what those two words mean. The man was born from the Virgin in the city of Bethlehem in Judea. The Scripture makes a great point because there was a Bethlehem in another place in Israel. This is given by explanation because God does all things with a purpose. And when the Holy Spirit moved upon Micah in Micah chapter 5, he calls it Bethlehem Ephrata. Ephrata, that is another name for Bethlehem in Judea. I'll give you a proof point with that if I could find it quick enough. In the 132nd Psalm, where the psalmist pens these words, he's talking about the Christ of God. He's talking about David desiring a house for the ark of God. And he says in verse 5, regarding David's desire to build a house for the ark of God. He said in verse 5, until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. He said, I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber until I do this. Until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Israel. At that time, God would commune with them. He would inhabit the place in the cloud of darkness, so we could not behold his glory between the two cherubs, the Son of God, the Son of Man, a type of. And here's my point. Lo, we heard it. We heard of it at Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood where David was in the city of David, the city that David took the stronghold of, the city of Jerusalem. This is talking about Ephrata, a few miles, about 8 miles outside of Jerusalem. Micah 5, back to the text. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. It sounds like a war, does it not? A battle. We see how Christ was afflicted when he was a peer upon the earth by his own people. He came to his own. His own received him not. They reviled him. They hated him. They wanted to destroy him because he made himself the Son of God. He made himself the Son of God to us. He revealed that to us because he is and he always has been the Son of God. He is eternally the Son of God. Here's the proof point. He had laid siege against us of what he's talking about. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Now this is regarding, it's pointing to the Christ of God who was smitten and beaten, esteemed him smitten and stricken, Isaiah 53 says. He was bruised for our iniquities. It pleased the Lord God to bruise him. He was smitten, the judge of Israel, with a rod upon the cheek. Here's the point. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata. Here is Bethlehem Ephrata. This is outside of Jerusalem. This is not the Bethlehem in the land of Zebulun. This is the Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem. I've never doubted that. I've never had any question about that because the Bible tells us he came from Jerusalem. But educated men in the world, and I have nothing against an education or against true science either, but there's a thing called science, falsely so-called, and there are people in the world that, in my opinion, are overeducated idiots, and they want to debate about where Christ was born. What does the Bible say? But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. This is not a question. This is a statement. At the time the prophecy was made, Bethlehem was a small place. It would become a great place. It would become a place where trade and would be prevalent, where crops would be brought in at the time of the harvest. And we'll get into that later, because Christ was born during the time of the harvest. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, Bethlehem Ephrata, and by the way, Bethlehem means the house of bread. Christ is the bread of God. Shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel? You remember going through the book of Revelations, especially the 19th chapter, and we understand that Christ is our King. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He rules over heaven. He rules over earth. He rules over the wicked. He will judge them one day. He judges them daily, temporally. But he also rules over us. This is dealing with the house of Israel. This is dealing with the church of God. Not in that day, although God did rule over them, but in today's time, the church of God. Because that's what was transpiring in Matthew. The Son of God was born. The kingdom of God was here. John, his forerunner, came preaching, "Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he, Christ, come forth unto me, the Father. Christ did not come to offer himself to you. He came to offer himself to the Father as a sacrifice for the sins of the children of God, as the Lamb of God. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old. How old? Back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Back to Noah, back to Adam, and from everlasting eternity when there was no time. You want proof? Christ is eternal. That's it. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren, that's the church today, shall return unto the children of Israel. Clarify very quickly. We'll cover this again. This line of thought, at least, that he's talking about the Gentile church and God's elect among the Gentile. Matthew 25:31, speaking of the destruction of Israel and the foundation of the church of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, says he shall send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth. That trumpet is the gospel trumpet. The angels are the messengers of God that came forth the New Testament church, where God would call his elect from all nations into the kingdom of God. And I like this part before moving on. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. When God sent down manna from heaven, when they came forth out of the wilderness and chided against God because they were hungry, he sent them angel food. That's a type of Christ. Okay? That is Christ feeding us. He feeds us daily. I am the bread of life. We consume that bread daily in the knowledge of Christ and the peace of God which we have in our hearts in this evil day and time. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. You catch that? We shall abide. For now shall he, the Christ, be great unto the ends of the earth. Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. We'll talk more about Herod as we go through here very probably. Let me say this from the jump. Herod is an Edomite. The lineage of Herod goes to Esau. Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. If you read the scripture and read of the hatred and the evil that Herod had, the lineage of Herod, just like Caesar, there were several. The way he hated God's people, they were enemies of God by nature, God's people. They have since ceased to exist. That's the judgment of God. They exist no more. That land is now occupied by other people. The beautiful scenery of the land, the things that were good for men's use in this world, plant life and such, have all faded away, been consumed away in the judgment of God, and they are now a barren place. That's the judgment of God. That's how God loves you. That's how God destroys your enemies and controls them. They exist no more. That's why Christ came into the world, was to save us and deliver us. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Oh, how Scripture puts things together. Where am I going? Psalm 72. Mark that with a finger. Let's go back to way back to Genesis 25. And while we're there, take another finger and put in Isaiah 60. And let's see 1, 2, 3. Genesis 25, I'll begin in verse 1. Sarah had passed, the mother of Isaac, the lifelong love and bride of Abraham, the woman who God put life in her dead, empty womb from the dead, empty loins of Abraham and brought forth Isaac, the promised seed, a type of the Christ of God who was now born into the world. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. She bare him Zimron, and Jokshan, Medan, and Midian, Ishbak, Shua, Jokashan, and Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanok, and Abadiah, and Eldea, all these were the children of Keturah. I say that to make a point. Now we can finish reading here and we can see that Abraham gave everything he had unto Isaac. Why? Because he was the promised seed. Let's draw a point here. Because what I'm telling you, the sons of Abraham, the people of the East that came to Christ by the star of David, by the star of God. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, he gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward into the east country. You want to understand who these people are. Men, theologians argue about this. I'll settle it by Scripture. Very simple and plain. Don't believe me, believe the Bible. These sons of Keturah were sent east. They lived in the east. Psalm 72. I'll just read verse 10 for time's sake. This is speaking of those that dwell in the wilderness that shall bow before him, being Christ, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles, that's the Gentiles, because from Japheth, Genesis 10, came the isles of the Gentiles. When the Bible says the isles shall wait for his law, it is speaking of the Gentiles awaiting the law of God written upon their heart. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. These are the men who came from the east, okay? The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Did we not just read the sons of Abraham and Keturah? Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. You see the stories of theologians. Most of this comes from the papist who would have the three little men who came with a few donkeys bringing up to the altar, up to the manger that Christ was in, bringing their gift. I'm going to tell you, these were not three poor men who brought these things, these gifts. These were kings. This was royalty being born into the world. This was the very Son of God born into the world. This was the very King of Kings born into the world. The Jews rejected Him. They received Him not. They gave Him no honor. They took no heed to Him, disdained Him, smitten and stricken before God. These were kings, just as the Queen of Sheba and others came up to see Solomon and all of his splendor and all of his glory that pointed to Christ. Kings came to see the child Jesus. Isaiah 60. Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to thy brightness of thy rising. Let me back up. We're going to talk about that light, that star eventually. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's the Christ. He says in verse 5 of Isaiah 60, then thou shalt see and flow together, Gentiles, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea of the Gentiles, shall be converted unto thee. You're taken from the idolatry of our nature. God translates you into the kingdom of God. This is God's work. It's in Christ, and Christ was born into the world. Let's see who He's talking about. The multitude, chapter 6, of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, they shall come from Sheba. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord, the sons of Keturah. That's not all. Let's go ahead and talk about those of Ishmael, beginning in chapter 25 and verse 12. The sons of Abraham through Hagar, the Egyptian, all the Arabs, the 12 tribes, those crazy people, the wild man, the Bible says, whose hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. But God said He would bless them. They were sons of Abraham, and God does bless them, and God did bless them. This has not changed. They're still crazy. They still fight everybody in the war. There's still war in the Middle East. He's always going to fight with those that claim to be of Judea. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, and that's what we'll be. But I want you to notice these same people are here in verse 7 of Isaiah 60. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance. Why are they accepted? Because the Christ of God is born in the world. On mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. You want to see about the Gentiles? Read verse 9. The isles shall wait for me. The Gentiles shall wait for the Christ of God. Let's go back to Matthew 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, there's an enemy in charge. There's an enemy in charge today. Prince of power there reigns over the earth, not over the kingdom of God. Behold, there came wise men from the east. You see who they are, Abraham's sons. They were astrologers. Okay? That was their religion, astrology. They were stargazers. They were pagans. They worshiped the stars of the sky. They watched them for signs and seasons and other things, the things which God had created for our purpose and His glory. They worshiped those things instead of the God who created them and led the children of Israel away to that at times also. But my point is, these men were astrologers. They watched the stars. They were familiar with these things. People want to know, why did they follow that star? Why didn't they follow it before that? Why is it not here today? Because that star is the glory of God, Jesus Christ. It was given and made manifest for the time that it was there to glorify that the Son of God, the Christ of God, was born in the world, just like when the multitude of the heavenly host was gathered there together with those shepherds in that field, glorifying Christ, who was born into the world. Where is he? This is Herod. Where is he? This is them. Where is he that was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I'm going to tell you this now because people get mad at me about this. I know the star came to the west, and I know that as we come into the temple, we come from the east to the west. But if you read the scripture, you will find, and we'll get to it a little later, where it led them to the throne of God. If it led them there, then it came to them as Christ came to us. It came to them and led them to the birth of the Christ of God. Saying, where's he that is born King of the Jews? He wasn't made king. He was born king. He is the king. He's always been the king. The Bible says, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. There's no beginning to that. He's eternal. He's always been the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's revealed unto us. Now it's revealed unto us. Now it's made manifest. Where is he that was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You read what theologians say and believe, and it amazes me some of the things they believe, but we must understand we're years and years and generations after them. And we have more hindsight than they do because more water has passed under the bridge. And therefore, I do believe we see a little more than they did, for the Spirit of God gives it. They came to worship him. They didn't come just to see him. They didn't come just to bring gifts and get on his good side. For he was a child, a babe. They came to worship the King. Why are you here today? To gain eternal life? No. To get on the good side of God? No. To make your life better? Well, yeah, but that's not the reason we're here. We're here to worship God. That is the purpose. And we cannot do it except in Christ and through Christ. And by the work of Christ. Thus, no different with them. God had prepared these men. God sent them this star of his glory. Balaam say, I shall behold him, but not nigh. Where is that? Numbers. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star, capital S, proper name, the light of God, out of Jacob. And a scepter, the rule, shall arise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. You want to talk about Herod and Edom? Read the next verse. And Edom shall be a possession. Okay. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Herod's family, to use the word, lineage, probably a better word, had been on the throne, appointed by an enemy of God to oversee another enemy of God, to oversee the children of Israel. No doubt Herod was educated in the religion of the Jews, what they taught and what they looked for. And certainly all Jerusalem was, for they were brought up under the law and the prophets. And they justified themselves by the law. And they knew the prophets prophesied of the Christ that should come, as we've mentioned several times before, from Isaiah 14, the virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, and his name should be called Emmanuel. We talked about that last week. They knew this day would come. Let me tell you something, brethren. Look around the world. Look at these people, such as the president and the Senate and the Congress in this nation, who live in fear that God can see what they're doing, that God knows what they're doing. They seek to hide from God just as the Jews did from the Romans. They're afraid that time is drawing nigh. People tell them that time is drawing nigh. We don't know when it is, but we know it's nearer than it was 10 minutes ago. Herod knew these things. Herod was afraid. He'd heard this from them all his life. He was troubled. Because now he's being told, this king is in the world. He will take my power. He will take my glory. And we know what happened to him. He bred worms and stank. That's the justice of God. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he's got the priesthood, he's got the lawyers, and he's got the people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Matthew, Micah 5:2, in Bethlehem of Ephrathah. They quote that. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Back to Isaiah 9:6. He rules of the increase of his government. There would be no end. There's a reason these things are in Scripture. There's a reason the Lord gives those he calls to preach revelation and understanding to teach these things to the children of God, to know where these things are. God leads us. God takes us. God puts this in our head. You give that glory to God and you realize that Christ is edifying us in this knowledge, and you realize that Christ is glorified in all of this. Then Herod, when he had privily caused the wise men, you see these men that came from the east, they're wise. They're the east. They're in Persia. They studied astrology. They were prepared of God to know. They weren't brought up under the Jewish religion. They were sons of Abraham, but they were carried away in idolatry, astrology. But they were there looking for the Christ, just as you are here today looking for the Christ. He called them privately, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. You see, he's afraid. How long has this king been alive? When did that star appear? How old is this child? How long do I have before God smites me dead and takes my rule? Because evil men and tyrants are cowards, and they will stop at nothing to keep their power. That's what they are. Look at our government. Look at the fool in the White House. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. He's conniving in his mind. He is trying to deceive them. And there we could put in a but God. Scripture didn't, but I want you to know God hindered this. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. You come tell me where he's at so I can worship him. Sounds reasonable, does it not? There are things that happen in this world. We'll get to one of them soon. That God suffers to happen. Things that are evil, things that are wrong. Things would seem would destroy everything and end our way of life and our hope. And we may not even realize that God works it. But God works it and saves us and delivers us and works it to our benefit. When they'd heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them. It took them from the east to the west, just as you enter from the east to the west in the temple. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. If you haven't figured out by now, I believe this star was the glory of God. I believe it was prepared of God. Well, how can God be in two places? The Son of God in the River Jordan, the Spirit descending like a dove, the Holy Father in heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. The three. God is God. Do not limit God. Do not judge God upon our infinite sinful minds. The glory of God appeared in that star. The star that arose out of Jacob, Christ, led them to the Christ child. Luke says when he was born, they laid him in a manger. Doesn't say because they were poor. It says because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's dispel all these lies that men pursue. We draw the nativity scene. We've got Christ in a manger, the little drummer boy, and the three wise men. This is 2 years, okay? He's in a house, Scripture says. He's not over there in Luke 2 in a manger. 2 years' time. But when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, not the stall, not the manger, Christ was in a manger when he was born because it was in the month of September or October. It was the Feast of Harvest. There was no room for them in the inn because Jerusalem and Bethlehem were full of men that had brought their sheep, their camels, the produce of wine or grapes, whatever they made their money producing into the city, the Feast of Harvest, to bring the harvest in. What better time is there for Christ to come to the world to manifest the harvest of his children than in fulfilling the law? Being born at the time of the harvest. They were there because there was no room. That is Scripture. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Okay? The young child. He's called a firstborn son in Luke 2. And she laid him in a manger. That's a newborn. Here, he is a young child. Realize what the Scripture says. You know, I used to love to watch the Ten Commandments. Some people watch it every year. That movie's full of Hollywood and men's thoughts and ideas. It is not scriptural. Heed the truth of God. When they come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. This is a long caravan of kings. We see who they were. They were from the east. They were from Abraham's children. They were the seed of Abraham. They were kings. And they fell down and worshiped him. It's the reason the Bible says kings shall worship thee. There are kings of Egypt that worshiped him. I mean, kings of Israel, excuse me, David, Solomon, others. The kings of the world, the princes of the world, the governments of the world, many fell and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. This was a normal thing. We see them bringing gifts to Solomon because of the greatness of the kingdom that God had enabled him to build. Everything brought there, everything put together was put together for the purpose of God. Certainly, Gentiles were bringing gifts unto the King of Kings. Remember, God did this to glorify the Son of God. Because the Jews, his own people, rejected him. And the Gentiles from a far off country came to worship him, displaying, manifesting the power and the glory of the Christ of God. They presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were things that they had from their own country that they brought to the king. Things that were dug, or the gold, or grown and manufactured in their own country, they brought to the king. When Columbus went back to England, he took tobacco and other things, corn and things of this country back to England. This, when a king would visit, or somebody visits another nation, they take them things from their own country to them. This is the same situation. They brought him gifts from their countries. Now we can find some types and shadows in those gifts at another time, yes. But the point being what they brought. And why? To worship the Son of God. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. God works his way in heaven and earth. God didn't have to send them an angel. God gave it to them in a dream. They understood it. They obeyed what God moved them to do. God doesn't tell us to do something and not enable us to do it. If God asked us in our dead nature to come to church, we wouldn't come. God moves us to come to church. God moves us to do the things of God. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, Gabriel, the messenger, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and he, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." This is the way of the world. Let us kill the righteous. Let us kill those that oppose us. Let us kill and destroy everything that is of God. You get on TV, say, "Christ, you're cut off." There's the entertainment industry hating God. There's the news media hating God. It all comes from government intrusion. There's the government hating God. You've got people in office that will talk about Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius. But if you mention Christ, they persecute you. It's no different. Evil is evil. It always works the same way. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed unto Egypt. Now you bear this in mind. Joseph and Mary and this child, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is being sent by the Lord to Egypt. Egypt is the place where God had delivered his people from. Egypt was a fierce enemy of Israel. Christ would be in the land of the enemy of Israel. Joseph and Mary would be in the land of the enemy of Egypt. But God would bring them back again. You take that and you sleep on that and you rest on that and you stand confident in that while we live in this dark, sinful world in which we are, that God would deliver us again. And was there unto the death of Herod, that's that Herod, not the one that bred worms and stank, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That is in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. God is speaking about when he called his people out of Israel, out of Egypt. When God called his Israel out of Egypt, there's a type of the church of God, the law service in that day that God delivered from their enemies in Egypt. Certainly it's pointing to Christ of God who is here this day, whom God would deliver out of Egypt, whom God would bring out of Egypt, whom God would call out of Egypt, where God had safely kept him. And you know that Christ is the head of the church and we are his body. So therefore, he has called us out of Egypt. And Egypt is a type of depravity and death and sin. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked on the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, what they told him. I don't care if it's how long it took them to get there. I don't care what the circumstance was. It was a 2-year period of time. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. This is Jeremiah 31:15. I'm turning there because I want to read part of that to you. He says, here in Ramah was there a voice heard. What was that voice? Lamentation, weeping, crying, sorrow, tears, and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. We go back to the text in 31 of Jeremiah verse 15. He's talking about a coming of a deliverer because they were in bondage. In that verse 15, he says, a voice was heard in Ramah. This was the time when the tribe of Benjamin was destroyed. This is the time when the men were killed. This is the time when their sons were killed. This is the time when they were held in bondage by Nebuchadnezzar until they were taken into Babylon. It says, refrain thy voice from weeping. She's weeping because her children are not, because they're killed, because they're dead. They are not. What does the Lord say? Remember this, brethren. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again to the land of their enemy. I'd like to stay here about 30 minutes, but we don't have that much time. I want to draw your attention to the book of Exodus when there was a Pharaoh that raised up that knew not Joseph. And they were throwing those Hebrew male children in the river and killing them because they feared them. They were killing babies. They were killing children. Satan desires to kill the most innocent, the most helpless. That's why he picks on the elderly. That's why he picks on the young. Go watch who gets robbed. The old widow who's coming out of the church house who gets knocked down and her purse taken. The young children robbed, brutalized, molested because they cannot defend themselves. They were throwing those children in the river. They were killing children. Why? Because Satan knoweth that he hath but a short time in his wrath, and he makes war of the woman, Revelation 12. They were killing babies, and God sent a deliverer in Moses. We see the same thing with Herod, seeking to preserve himself, his own power, being angry at God, being angry with God's people. Slew all the firstborn that were there from 2 years old and younger. Did you notice God had sent a deliverer, the ultimate deliverer? And I heard Ben Tindall preach this 20-something years ago. Don't you put this on my plate. This came from him. but they're killing children. God works His way. Just as in Egypt, God had a deliverer. Now, brethren, I tell you that because they're killing babies today. It may not be very long before the Son of God appears in the eastern sky. I don't fault the women who are deceived into doing this. They're not taught the truth of God. They're taught lies by men who call themselves theologians, if they're even taught at all. Those children leave the sanctity of their mother's womb and are with Christ above instantly. Now that's how God works. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. And God will judge those doctors who do that in Egypt. Arise, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. I won't touch that right now. Saying, arise, take the young child, only because we're out of time, and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah, in the room of his father Herod, he's afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned inside into the parts of Galilee. A Galilean from Nazareth. Now watch this, and I'll close. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Do you see in the book of Judges where Solomon was going, not Solomon, Samson was going to be born, and the angel told him he would be a Nazarite from the days of his birth from the womb. The word means holy. Christ, holy from God in the womb, holy from God from the time of his mother's womb. He was a Nazarite and he dwelt in Nazarene. God had him to be born in a city that was little known. It wasn't Birmingham. It wasn't Montgomery. It wasn't New York or Atlanta. It came from Bethlehem, Ephratah, and God would send him into the Nazarene where there was no good thing. One of his disciples said. Went through that awful fast. There's more could be said, but you can read it.